You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
2 weeks ago, Green Party MP Chloe Swarbrick delivered an open letter to Infrastructure Minister Grant Robertson with solution suggestions for cultural infrastructure. The suggestions were made to ensure that venues, businesses and individuals who suffered a high amount of loss during the pandemic would not experience the same issues again. The Green Party acknowledged in a press release last week that they welcomed the targeted support for the arts community that was announced by the Minister of Finance. Chloe Swarbrick spoke with Charlie today about the open letter, with Charlie first asking what the proposed solutions of the open letter were.
So there were four proposals that were put forward, one of which was enabling Auckland Council to, for example, waive or delay charges for things like licensing fees and to simplify processes for applying for example, outdoor dining, which of course, as we move through the next stages, is going to become increasingly important. Also to provide targeted support, that one of course we ended up winning, to ensure, thirdly, that there was a capacity or ability to negotiate commercial rent reductions and also to extend, fourthly, IRD and government-backed loan schemes. So we ended up winning two of those four demands. Unfortunately, with the targeted support being provided, while that, of course, was awesome and has been a lifeline for many of these institutions, the big problem is that unless there is the facilitated commercial rent reduction negotiations, then it very well may be the case that the subsidy just ends up being eaten by the wallet of commercial landlords.
And so would this just apply to Auckland City or would this be extended further?
So the ask came about by virtue of my position as a local MP for Auckland Central and realising, speaking to a number of, you know, our kind of venues and our kind of restaurants and the holes in the wall and our owner-operators, that this was a particularly acute issue for Auckland City Centre, particularly given the compounding effects of the 107-day kind of lockdown at the end of last year and obviously also the fact that we as a city centre have a far greater density of people who, for example, typically in normal times, not that I think we're anywhere near those now, but operate out of those office blocks kind of 5 days a week. So while it very much was focused from the position of Auckland Central, it is something which applies across the country. So the outcome that we saw, the one which I think is kind of the headline issue, is for those who have experienced a 40% decline in their revenue, they are eligible for targeted support.
And is the current infrastructure for cultural spaces in Auckland like specifically insufficient in certain ways?
Hugely. Yeah. Look, you know, I first got involved in politics back in 2016 when I ran in the local government elections. And this is a good shout out to anybody who's really interested in the future of our city, because it's local government elections this year. Please do put yourself out there and fight for the things that all of us love about our city and to make these spaces more available, accessible, better funded, and therefore more vibrant. But it was the closure of the King's Arms for me, or, you know, the foreshadowed closure of the King's Arms in 2016, which really led me to first kind of stick my neck out into the political arena. It was at that point in time where it became really abundantly clear that we simply haven't put in place the systems or the structures to support our venues in particular, or our cultural infrastructure at large, which is really bloody important for example, a flourishing local music scene where bands and artists can get a foot in the door, try things out without, you know, risking absolutely everything and being able to make mistakes, build an audience and a name for themselves. So, you know, if we really want to do those things, then we have to look at these spaces which are available and accessible, but we also have to look at the surrounding infrastructure, for example, our public transport. We also have to move away from a model of particularly live music that currently relies far too much on alcohol sales.
And for the proposals that were made and the achievements that got, have you had a good response from businesses or individual artists?
Yeah, in terms of the cultural infrastructure letter to the minister, obviously the fact that, you know, there was 60 signatories on the original letter, including some kind of headline orgs like Save Our Venues, but also The Realness, which operates and works with owner-operators and kind of restaurants and cafes and otherwise, a number of different kind of small businesses, including Metro Restaurant of the Year, Peachy, which opened at the start of the pandemic at the mouth of St. Kevin's Arcade. You know, all of these people who do their best to make our kind of contribute to our community, to employ locals and serve locals and ensure that when we come out the other side of this pandemic, that we're not walking back out into like a corporate wasteland, but into the things that we know and love about this city. So, yeah, I think that we can count that as a success with 60 plus folks signing on to the original open letter. Subsequent to that, we had 1,300 people sign on to the open letter on the website. And obviously, we've seen the minister subsequently respond to 2 out of those 4 asks. But I think the key point remains for both those who are commercial tenants, but actually also, to be frank, those who are residential tenants, that landlords across both commercial and residential sites are really putting the squeeze on the people who, you know, have contributed to the art and the culture and the vibrancy of this city. And it's really important that we start to think seriously and maturely about the kind of controls that we want to put in place as we mature as a city.
And you mentioned just before at the start of the interview that you didn't want this subsidy to sort of just be eaten up by the big commercial companies. Is there any way that that can be avoided?
So, yeah, a few different things to note there. When it comes to this resurgence kind of support payment scheme, the threshold now being at 40% means that the catchment is far more targeted. And I've got OAO documents from a cabinet decision made back in October around the supports that were made or put in place, rather, during the August Delta lockdown for us in Tāmaki. So as far as that goes, it is far more targeted than the previous 30% threshold. But when you're talking about it being swallowed up by those kind of commercial entities, I think the most important thing to pay attention to here is those commercial landlords, who, of course, have also experienced a massive historical record increase in the capital value of their properties over the last 2 years as a result of the government's over-reliance on what's called unconventional monetary policy.
And so for future infrastructure, is there any sort of vision on how you think it would be best appropriated for these outbreaks?
Yeah, I think it's really important to figure out how we can segregate the two different issues of what we do in a crisis versus what we do in normal times. I've personally found it a little bit frustrating that when we hear in the mainstream this call for whatever the new normal looks like, that the new normal is often manifest as being used to this pandemic becoming endemic and perhaps wearing our masks a little bit more or getting vaccinated more regularly, as opposed to reflecting on the fact that the normal that we've come from was entirely unsustainable, particularly if we wanted a flourishing local arts and cultural scene. So I prefer that we start up that conversation again about what do we want the future to look like? What lessons can we learn about the past in terms of the subsidies and supports that we have provided for our local industries and our local people to not only get a foot in the door, but to make really cool stuff, the kinds of things that we are proud of. And I think, if anything, the silver lining of the pandemic has showed us the importance of that localism, the importance of our communities, and the importance of supporting creativity in our own backyard.
That was Chloe Swarbrick, Green Party MP, speaking with Charlie about improvements and developments being made for cultural and arts-based infrastructure in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.